Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Welcome back, Spirituality What? Listeners, it is Wednesday, time for our new episode. Today, I am looking forward to this discussion with Dr. Ula Sarmiento. Dr. Ula came to me through our friend, Kanda, who did our very first episode on feminism and spirituality. And Dr. Sarmiento, she's from Finland originally, grew up in Canada, she lives in Spain. She is a highly trained research scientist. She's got a lot of letters after her name. She worked both in academia and the biopharmaceutical industry over about 20 years. And after retiring from that world, she went on to apply her research skills to a spiritual aspect, to spiritual science, and asked a lot of really interesting questions with an ultimate goal of bridging science and spirituality. So today, I am thrilled to have her to open up our part one of a part two episode about ADHD and autism. So we are going to talk a little bit about her cutting edge, really different perspective that she has on these two things, kind of why people incarnate with ADHD or autism, explore and talk about the frequencies and energetic differences between normal humans and these superhumans, and talk all about kind of how this manifests in energy in our 3D world. Welcome back, everybody, to the Spirituality What podcast. I am here today with Dr. Ula Sarmiento, and we are going to dive into the conversation about the connection between spirituality and ADHD and autism. So we're thrilled to have Dr. Sarmiento on today. And Ula, if you would like to give a little introduction.
Thank you for inviting me to your program. I think this is going to be a good ride. I was trained as a veterinarian, so I'm all about animals. I got a PhD in pathology, which is about studying disease processes. And then I did a postdoc in molecular immunogenetics, which is a study of tissue typing for transplant purposes. I worked in both academia and in the biopharmaceutical industry to discover new therapeutics for human diseases like cancer, obesity, autoimmune, and whatnot. But after leaving the corporate world, I started researching spiritual science, which led to my blog, a YouTube channel, and 6 books with more to come. So I'm happy to be here and answer any of your questions.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, the very first question that we will start with, that we start with on every episode with every new interviewee on this podcast, is what does spirituality mean to you?
Spirituality is remembering who and what we really are. We are not the human body or the personality or the mind or even the soul. We are more than all those put together. We are the higher self, which is a much bigger entity, which is too far high up in the multiverse to basically come to this level. So our goal here is to be able to communicate with our higher self, which is also called the oversoul or Godhead. That's what we call self-realization. The higher self sends a soul to explore the universe at different levels in different locations. That's what we're doing on Earth. We use the human body here as a vehicle to be in this environment. So I'd like you to think of the soul as the driver and the body as the car that we drive around for a lifetime. And that's what spirituality is. Really wrapped up.
Awesome. And we are going to dive a lot more into the exciting topics of ADHD and autism. And so I guess from my perspective, I think it would be helpful to set some foundations around these terms in general and talk a little bit about, like, what is the conventional view of ADHD and autism and what do they mean kind of in society now before we get to the spirituality part?
Yes. We know a lot more now, even about autism and ADHD, thanks to people like Guy Needler, who is an engineer, an energy healer, and author of a dozen books about the greater reality. He wrote a book called Psychospiritual Healing, which talks about these conditions and much more. And he's an experienced person who sees thousands of people with these conditions, and he's been able to describe them in a brand new way. So the conventional view is that autism is a developmental disability because these children are different from their peers. It presents as a spectrum because their skills can range from being gifted to being challenged with daily life. Now, ADHD is another neurobehavioral condition with three presentations called predominantly inattentive or hyperactive impulsive or a combination of the two. But no two people are exactly the same either. Both of these conditions are becoming more common, which is worrisome to people who don't understand their purpose here.
Sure. Absolutely. And what does ADHD stand for again?
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder.
Okay.
And okay. Autism is a spectrum, autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah. Okay. So considering this disorder, this label of disorder and conventional view of you're different from me, so you have a disorder, which is a little bit messed up in its own mind. And the use of the word sort of disability, how do you define, based on your scientific and your spiritual, this crazy cool background that you have, how do you define disability? And then where do ADHD and autism actually fit into that definition?
Okay, this is an interesting point because disability, our definition of it has changed a lot over the years. You know, in the old days, people used to leave any deformed babies in the woods to die, or they institutionalized anyone who was blind, deaf, physically or mentally disabled. Yeah. Nowadays, disability covers a range of conditions, including autism and ADHD. They're covered under the ADA law, the Act. But some people have visible impairments. Those are disabilities as well, like eyeglasses or a walker. But this will be a very rapidly changing field for us because we'll soon have many new devices like bionic prosthetics. And then we have to ask ourselves, is it a disability or a tool? A bionic limb may have more agility and more strength than the original limb had.
Sure.
So as a society, we'll just have to decide how far to take this outer technology, how dependent we become on our internet, cell phones, devices, rather than using our inner technology. So when it comes to ADHD and autism, they are under the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. But we don't know what causes these conditions. But I can tell you it's not bad parenting, too much sugar, video games, or vaccines. So they're not disabilities as such. These people are born with some inner technology that future humans will have. And in that sense, they're a bit like time travelers that have gone back to the past, where neurotypical or standard humans operate with just five senses. You know, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It's difficult for these time travelers to interact with standard humans. So that's where we are today.
Yeah. And I love that you call them time travelers. And I was just thinking about when you were saying, like, back in the day, you know, everything was like a disability. I recently read this book. It was like a, what is that called? Like historical fiction. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a memoir or anything, but it was about this woman who in the 1920s got pregnant out of wedlock in the UK and spent 50 years in a psych hospital.
Yes.
In the UK because she determined, like, I can't remember the exact name, but she was like diseased effectively, because she was pregnant out of wedlock.
Happened in Finland to other countries as well.
It's just really
unbelievable.
Fucked up view of society. Yes. They're like, we're really mean to each other.
Yes.
So you talk a little bit about, you know, this conventional view of disability. And then you also say that ADHD and autism is not caused by these environmental or these nurture factors. And it's really something that somebody comes into this incarnation or into this life with that. And so why would somebody choose that necessarily?
Well, there's a whole queue of higher selves wanting to send souls here. Why? Because incarnation is the fastest way for them to evolve. Because evolution is experiential. You have to be here to experience things firsthand. We have to be the actor in the movie, not just the couch potato watching the movie. So a disability makes our human life more challenging, but that's exactly what the soul wants to experience, to learn and evolve from it. And why do they come to Earth? Because this is graduate school for incarnation. It's the toughest place to incarnate. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. That's Earth, not just New York.
Yeah. So everybody listening, like, you're fucking killing it right now, basically. Yeah, by just being here, like, just doing your thing, you are doing awesome.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So we've got a little, we have this little bit of a foundation around ADHD and autism. So you've talked a lot about the higher self and the need for our souls to grow and have challenges, which is why we might choose beforehand to kind of come in with ADHD or autism or some other disability or disorder, if you will. So what is your, how do you tie all of that together for your full spiritual view of ADHD and autism?
Okay, so life is about exploration. Different frequencies give us different experiences or different states of being. They're all valid choices for the soul to experience, even anxiety, depression, autism, or ADHD. The soul wants to learn about it because it wants both depth and breadth of evolution under its belt. People with autism and ADHD are wired differently from the standard human. They may feel like they're in the wrong place with the wrong people. It's the wrong environment for them. They come here and go, what? Basically, we live in a sea of energy, and they're a bit like scuba divers trying to swim in dense waters with many obstacles. When they're underwater, they can't think, behave, or act in a normal way because they normally live in the air above the water, where it's easy to move around, use all their senses, and do stuff. That's the environment they expected to have. So that's how I define them. They're basically in the wrong place at the wrong time, but not really, because their higher self sent them here anyway.
Right. And so you mentioned before, and you kind of alluded to this now as well in this analogy of them sort of not being able to function in the water, in the sea of energy that they're in. And you alluded to a little bit earlier that they're walking around on this planet with us, a bunch of, you know, regular humans with only five senses. So how do these conditions affect this, the physical body? You mentioned a little bit earlier that they're, you know, savants versus people who are kind of challenged. It's a spectrum. But this energy, so what is the energetic difference between people with ADHD and autism and people who don't have that?
Okay, I want to first just describe what we mean by frequency, because that's a term that we hear in
physics. Yes, let's do that.
So think of frequencies as different states of being, like water molecules that go from solid ice to liquid water or steam or gas when they're heated. So more energy means higher frequency and a more expanded state of being. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Science gives us information about that block of ice, the physical world we can see or measure with instruments, but that's less than 1% of the greater reality, which includes everything beyond the physical, the things we can see. Now, spirituality helps us understand the other 99%, the subtle energy layers and the greater reality we can't see. We need both, obviously, to understand the big picture. So people with autism and ADHD are wired differently from the standard human, but every one of them is unique in how they have been wired. That makes their incarnation different from everyone else. And Basically, they come in with a soul blueprint. They choose a family and choose a particular body right at conception. You know, there's a big plan made by their guide and helpers and the higher self and the soul itself.
Yep.
When the soul has dibs on a particular body, it puts a special energy system into the zygote right at conception. So they're connected to the body from the start. But the soul itself will come in and out of the body during pregnancy. The soul gets bored waiting for the body to grow. So it's kind of like us buying a new car. We don't go sit in the car while it's being built in the factory. We claim it when it's ready to drive. The soul isn't really permanently integrated into the body until age 7. So that does impact, okay, impact its life in the earlier stages. But the energy system is still there while the body is being built. Now, the human form is a very sophisticated vehicle that is mostly invisible to us. And I don't know how much background you have in the energy bodies of people, but basically we just see the first three layers, which is the physical body, the flesh and bones, and the things we can see and feel and touch and hear, and that's only a small part of us. There's another 7 layers above that, at 7 different frequency levels. We have energy centers or chakras that take in life force energy from the environment all around us. And each chakra is sort of specialized at one level. So from level 1 to level 7. And then these chakras energize 7 energy templates that surround the physical body. That's parts that we don't see at all. It's like wearing 7 invisible biosuits or layers on top of our physical body. That makes up the human energy field. But the car or the vehicle that the ADHD or autistic souls drive have some extra bells and whistles. They have a Ferrari, not a Ford Escort.
I like it.
That's a big misconception.
When you talk about these energy fields, and I guess this is just a generic question that I have, and chakras, does that refer to like the aura that people talk about? When they talk about an aura, is that the energy fields or is that something different?
The aura is really the waste product coming from the chakras that are taking in energy and they lose some energy. They take in energy and there's energy loss. And that energy loss creates the aura. It used to be thought that the aura is the energy field, but it's really not. The energy field is a separate thing. It's created by the templates. And the templates are like suits that are wrapped up all around us. So we are much bigger than we see. You know, those energy fields go way beyond our physical body.
Yeah.
But I should say that there are differences between the autistic and ADHD children in this sense that the autistic soul is more open because they come already plugged into the 5th level or even higher.
Okay.
So they're semi-connected to everything all the time. They don't even know how they do it. There's no logic to it. It's just automatic or subconscious to them. But it is a more holistic way to be connected to a group type consciousness, which comes naturally to them. They're on a spectrum because some are connected to higher levels than others. As we said, some are child prodigies or savants with genius level skills in math, music, art, whatever. But others need more help with daily life because they're very, very sensitive. They have poor boundaries. They may not know where their energy field ends and where the tree begins. So they don't feel safe here. Is the wrong frequency or the wrong environment for them. And they don't want to connect with the world in the same way that standard humans do. So they cope by drawing into themselves, so they're half out of body. They're here, but not here, in a sense.
Yeah.
And then I should say the ADHD children are a little bit different because they have a more linear way to connect to the 4th frequency level, which is the next layer up from the physical body. It's the pivot point between the physical and astral levels.
Okay.
So their souls still have a link to the gross physical level, but their energetic channels are integrated with the 4th energy template, or what's called the astral body. But they're also on a spectrum, depending on the number of energetic channels they have on the 4th level. For instance, some may have 10 to 20 channels that are more broadband in nature, and that's easier to cope with, while others may have hundreds of channels that are very narrow band channels, all giving them extra input, so they have a more severe case of ADHD. What they're doing is they're really connecting to sub-frequencies or smaller increments within the fourth frequency level, the template that connects them with the heart chakra in their
body. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, is that, yeah. So then the fifth frequency is that throat?
Throat is fifth and heart is fourth, yes.
Okay, so ADHD, people who have ADHD have more attuned, more sensitive, I liked that word as well, used that earlier, in their heart chakra in general.
Yes, yeah, I'll explain more about that in a little bit. Okay. But what I wanted to say that all these, both autistics and ADHDers, they expect others to communicate with them on the same levels. But standard people don't have these channels. So they're on the third level, the floor below. And that makes it difficult. And I also wanted to mention that people like Guy Needler has tried as an energy healer to turn off some of these extra channels in these really severe cases, at least while they're growing up. Energetically, you can do this by psycho-spiritual programming. Sure. And that helps them calm down, and then they can be turned back on when they're teenagers or older, if they understand their condition and feel that they can handle these extra functions. So that's something that's never been really done before. This is new information.
Interesting. And so when we say, I just have this really, it like looks like a highway in my head. I'm getting like a visualization of like, especially with the car analogy, like
yes, I got a car,
a highway of like things, you know. And this psycho-spiritual programming that Guy Needler does is really just kind of flipping switches and saying, okay, no cars on this highway, no cars on this highway. Can't, yes. It's too much input.
It's too much.
So they can't handle that right now. Wow. Yes. Yes. So that's so cool. So I want to go back just a little bit. You mentioned something very, very interesting, which is that at conception, right, that's when the soul has picked, and that makes sense, and that the soul says, yep, this is the one that this is the body that I'm going to go into, but that it gets bored and it goes in and out and says, like, you know, the body's still being created. Like, I don't have much to do right now, but also that the soul isn't permanently or like fully integrated into the physical body until around age 7. Mm-hmm. And so I was curious, how does that impact childhood diagnoses of ADHD or autism? Because I do feel like it's, I mean, now, maybe not so much before, but at least now it's definitely something where, you know, people's kids are 1 or 2 or 4, you know, they're very, very young and they're being diagnosed with these things. But now what I'm also hearing is like their soul isn't like all the way connected yet either. And so I'm curious about that relationship.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, I'm not a clinician or a therapist or a healer, so I don't know exactly how that, this is, I think it is a matter of educating the diagnosticians, really. That's where what it comes down to. When they understand that these people are actually operating at a higher level, they're not fully in their body, or that they become extremely sensitive because they just have a sensory overload and they try to withdraw into themselves.
Yeah.
All these things, these are just 3D descriptions of what a higher frequency person will do. At this 3D level.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do is actually now next describe how this affects their life.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that helps you. Yeah. So most people live on the third level. They play the 3D game of life. So we experience wounds, challenges, and pain more intensely. We have a strong ego. We're very individualistic. And everything is based on separation. It actually takes a lot of focus for us to maintain this unnatural state of separation. And in 3D, we have fixed rules about time, which is actually a human invention. Time doesn't really exist.
Correct, exactly.
We just string together now moments and call it linear time. We call it past, present, and future. But that doesn't exist anywhere else higher up from us.
Right.
So then on the fourth level, which is the level that the ADH people have access to, they exist in non-linear time or timelessness. So it's no wonder that they have trouble with time management here. That's not something they do at that level. Their soul is operating at in another space and level. And the fourth level is not time. That's a misconception by science.
Okay.
The fourth dimension, you know. But at this level, we start to heal and awaken, and we are less identified with the ego. Our body, emotions, and thoughts begin to blend and integrate like a creamy soup instead of a chunky soup. You know, we blend them together. Our boundaries are more fluid, so we feel more connected to others. We see them as mirrors of ourselves. We have more compassion. We become more heart-centered and present. That's the 4D experience that your soul as an ADH person would experience. But when we get upset or angry, we drop down to play the 3D game. So we're back in the ego mind with filters, programs that limit us. So the fourth level is sort of a transitional area that's malleable like that. That's the 4D game that ADHers expected to be in, and they play in some of the time, and some of the time they drop down.
Yeah.
Now, autistics, they are on the fifth level. Their soul operates at the fifth level. The ego is dissolving more, and they move away from an individual identity to a group identity. There's no time here either.
Okay.
When they're in flow, things happen easily. They can manifest things instantly. They don't have to build a house from bricks. They just desire, intend, and think it to place. So, and they have access to a cosmic internet of sorts with multidimensional information. That's the 5D game that autistics expected to be in. But they're here on the third level playing the 3D game. So I hope that helps a little
bit. Yeah. So what I think to sort of summarize and what I hear you saying, right, is that autistic people are, their soul energy is operating at this higher level, but they're kind of constricted to a certain extent because of this three-dimensional body in this three-dimensional world. And there's like a dissonance then that happens because they're trying to, and I, you know what, people like who have ADHD and autism expecting other people to interact like them, like welcome to the real, like that's exactly how everybody is. Like we always expect that everyone will interact and communicate with us the way we communicate with them. So that's like very normal.
Yes.
Very normal human behavior. But I do think it's a super interesting perspective here, what you're talking about, which is what you mentioned in the beginning, which is ADHD and autism are not a disorder and not a disability, but really a like leg up on spiritual growth and connection and transcendence, if you will, these sort of people who are already there.
Exactly.
And they're struggling so much because of the physical bodies and the rest of the physical world isn't already there.
No,
and so they have to a certain extent, you know, adapt as like as much as they can to sort of function or have caregivers that help them sort of function in this reality. But it's really interesting because, and you said this before, like normal humans, like these humans are superhumans.
There we have it, folks. Dr. Ulla Sarmiento with Spiritual Beings and ADHD and Autism. So join us next week if you'd like to hear the last bit of our conversation. If you are on Spotify, please follow the podcast, clicking the follow button underneath the cover art or the podcast art, and tell all of your friends about this podcast. I'm having a really great time doing this with all of these interviews and would love to share the love. See you guys next week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.